Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving.
Solving Crime. I am your host for this evening, Katie Wilkins, and I'm joined as ever by Hannah George.
Hey!
And Taylor Glenn.
Thanks very much.
Hello!
This is where confidence tricksters meet Quantro.
Oh dear.
Do it again.
Quantro. How do you say Quantro? I've lost the ability.
Quantro.
Quantro, thank you. This is where confidence tricksters meet Quantro. Kleptomania meets Chianti.
And it's pronounced Chianti.
Swindling meets Sauvignon Blanc.
Hey!
Thanks, drunk
Katie is
brain.
Available for voiceovers if anyone.
and I don't waste everybody's time. They love me. They love me in the voice recording studio. And now, without further ado, please will you welcome your fantastic guest, Olivia Lee?
Just fulfilled a lifelong dream, jumping out from behind a curtain. It's been a long time. I haven't brought a notebook, but I brought my handbag. I'll tell you what I've got in here. I've got my lipstick, Charlotte Tilbury, Pillow Talk, the best colour.
Oh,
I
yeah.
have my mobile Ooh. Phone, for no other reason, in case I get bored and I decide I want to text. Or oh, there you go. My husband's just texted me. You're going to have loads of fun. There's no pressure.
Thank you for showing us the contents
yeah.
of your
know,
bag.
I felt I should, because I felt like Jenny made such an entrance, and it would be really rude of me not to.
She did. For those of you listening, we've just recorded with Jenny Eclair,
yeah.
and she's
yes.
still in the room.
Jenny's still here. I'm already drunk. I'm really
sorry.
We're drunk women solving crime. We need to be drunk before we solve the crime. That's the deal, bro. Girl, yo.
Olivia.
Girl, yo.
Olivia, just so you know, this is actually an intervention. Jenny knew it. Jenny put in a lot of effort to like do the show.
I really don't get out that often. I really don't. Honestly, this is a big night out for me.
You're
Hi.
Amongst friends, but we're all gonna share stories.
Who wants to be my friend?
Where you affected us.
I have a baby and it's totally fucked my life up. Don't ever go out anymore.
Okay. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Oh, yes. Being a victim of crime involves my parents.
Oh, my God.
I'm with my parents. We've been out for lunch with the baby because they want to. Now I've got a baby, they're interested. So they come over more, which is great. And I walked them to the bus stop. They were getting the bus home because I live on a hill and my mum's terrified of parking on the hill. So she gets the bus. I live on Muswell Hill. When we moved in, she told me I should get crimpons for my boots. She said you should get crimpons because it's a very big hill. So she won't drive. But anyway, that's incidental. That's just I'm just letting you know about me. So she, they got the bus and we went for brunch. And afterwards, we're waiting at the bus stop and I bend down to the buggy to attend to my infant. And this guy, very drunk actually, man, walks past and he grabs my buttocks and he's like, so it's more of a Me Too moment, but it is a crime. I mean, that's
I really wish you hadn't made
my soul.
That's such a funny noise.
I know, I really wish you hadn't made such a funny noise because that is horrible.
And that was like a carry-on film.
I want to be sympathetic.
I was shocked. And then he walked off and he was just stood at the bus stop looking at me like, ooh. And I went, Mum and Dad, did you see that? And they went, yeah. And I said, Ma, I said to my mum, he was touching my bum. She went, oh, darling, he really wasn't. He was just trying to steal your phone. It's in your pocket. And I'm like, no, he was touching my bum. She went, I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
And then I went, Dad. And then this guy's looking at me like, ooh. I said, Dad. He's like, well, I'm not doing anything about it.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Taylor, do you want to take
Taylor has deduced so much.
Guys, just talk amongst yourselves. We got some work to do.
This is why I had to quit. Because like in the back of my head, I'm like, this is just funny.
Do you know what? It totally
like ineffective dad. That's no, hilarious. Like you're supposed to be my protector, and he's like,
do you know? It totally.
And your mother like, you're not sexy enough to be assaulted, Olivia.
It's so true. And it totally depends how busy.
And this is why Me Too just hasn't. Oh, fucking humanity. I'm gonna make another drink.
But if I'm having a quiet month work-wise, I literally can't afford to fall out with my mum because it costs me thousands in therapy. So I'm like, not this month, mum. And then I do like a nice bit jog. I'm like, right, now we can go at it. Now I can tell her what you think. She's cost me thousands.
I believe it.
Yeah. Talking about crimes, I often imagine like just smashing her in the face. Like that's
beep 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 beep. I just feel like
I wasn't supposed to do this. Why? It's because I'm drunk. I'm gonna cry as well. This is what happens when you're drunk,
Olivia. I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. Katie and Hannah are used to this kind of forum, but I am, and it's fine. Everything's fine. We're safe.
Come
it's
on.
A safe space.
I can't be the only person that's had a fantasy about smashing one of their parents in the face.
Of course
you're
not.
But, like, really smashing, like... Phew.
Right, show of hands, guys. Who's thought about smashing their parents
you.
In the face? I mean, for the podcast, it's probably 50-50.
Not just me. Yeah. Okay. Have another drink.
All right.
Another drink.
Well, that is... Thank you for sharing that. Cheers!
Whoa, cheers!
I'm caring and sharing. Right. Now let's solve a fucking crime.
Everybody ready to solve a fucking crime, as
solve
Olivia says.
Solve a fucking crime.
Right, listen up, knuckleheads. I'm the chief of police in
You're right, let's do
two horse town. As always, we're going to start with the gotcha. On the 10th of May, year unknown, the federal authorities receive an anonymous phone call telling them the identity of a person that they have been looking for who is guilty of counterfeiting money. The suspect is arrested and denies everything, but they refuse to disclose any information about a key that is found in their possession.
In their possession? What position were they in?
This is a good question. We will get to that in the next paragraph.
Right. Let me just recap about
it's all right.
A position and a key and counterfeit money. Am I right?
You're
that. That's correct. Great. So this key proves to bring about the downfall of this person. So let's get up to speed so that we can find out more about this key. What do we think the year is? You've got nothing to go on other than counterfeiting is a big thing.
Well, it's a key, so it's modern times.
Yep, it's modern enough to have a key.
Because they didn't have keys back in the day. They just had knobs. Big knobs.
You are an asset to the force.
It's the 1990s.
Okay, we've got 1990s.
Is that in your head?
1990s.
Because I'm just thinking of I've got the key.
I got secret.
I got the secret. Okay. I've got the key to another place.
Okay, we've got 1990s from Olivia.
Yeah. So there's an anonymous call to the force.
So phones exist.
We
keys
don't know
exist.
Where we are.
No, we're going to guess that in a minute.
Okay. And the key just unlocks this whole.
Yeah, see, the key's going to give away quite a lot, so I just wanted
this
us
is
to.
Desperately
is it Neo? Is Neo?
Thank
you. Is a black pill involved or a red pill?
Okay, I'm going to go with 1964.
Okay, we've got 1990, we've got 1964.
I'm
Hannah
going
George.
Like 1634. I'm going 1634. Old school. I imagine a big fucking key. Like, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah!
Two hands on that!
Like the caretaker.
Yeah.
A collection of
keys. Oh, yes, there's a ring of keys on his person.
Michael Gambon.
Right. Taylor Glenn, you are the closest.
So they phoned it in 1664.
How is
Hello?
That?
I'm sorry, I'm just holding my hand up to my face and I don't know why.
Oh, okay. I wasn't listening.
That's why this is the second
record.
It's
weird record. It was me.
I don't think anyone could spot that this is a second record.
The phone, wait, the phone
we're
thing
totally
passed
getting
by.
Away with this.
The phone right. thing passed me by.
What is okay. it? What is it? What is it?
1935.
Oh, that's not that close.
Yep. Okay. So it's the 10th of May, 1935. The federal authorities arrest this person and charge him with counterfeiting. The person denies any involvement. Do we think the perp is male or female?
It's Piers Morgan.
I'm going to do a spoiler and say it's
I'm
not
Piers
Morgan.
I'm just going to do names. Oh, okay.
It's male and this is in the USA.
Yes.
You know this because you probably found the story this with her.
It's my grandpa.
This bit does. That was you've gone ahead, but that's perfect because we need to get to that in a second. Yeah. So, yes. This particular
right?
crime happens in the USA.
Woo! We counterfeit. Yeah, we counterfeit.
You got the skills.
Okay.
I'm just really disappointed about how small this key is.
Okay.
Plan psych house.
Do you want to, seeing as you're on a roll, Taylor, do you want to guess the location?
So I was thinking California.
Okay.
California, no. Probably a Jewish person. I'm Jewish, I can say that. They
love oh, thank God!
I'm Jewish, don't worry. It
oh,
was
did everyone's bottoms just go, oh!
Ooh.
Oh, no! Oh, thank God, okay.
I'm Jewish.
Oh, it's fine.
Both sides.
Woo. I'm just like, oh, no! Okay, let's carry
so it's
on.
Fine. It was a Jew, wasn't it? In love money.
But the religion of the person is not mentioned.
Oh, okay. Carry on. I'm right. really drunk now.
This crime is committed by Victor Lustig. He is one of my favourite criminals of all time, and I will tell you for why. He just seems a lot of fun. This is New York. New York, baby.
He's you know. Jewish. Told you.
Lustig was arrested in New York and charged with counterfeiting. Although he openly admitted to his partner's involvement in the operation, he himself feigned ignorance in the matter. He's got partners in this crime. Who do we think rang the authorities and dubbed him in?
His wife.
Good guess, Olivia. It was his mistress.
Oh, oh dirty bastard.
Drama, you guys. Basically,
wow.
He has a mistress,
dirty
and then
boy.
He starts fucking his partner's mistress, and his mistress gets wind of it and then shops him to the feds.
What well, did he look like?
Victor, come on.
Is he hot? Is he on Instagram?
What did he expect?
My what God, what a catch.
What was his surname again?
Lustig, but...
Lustig.
Is it even his real name? No, it is not.
Lustig. It's anything with a ick or a steen or a ugh. It's definitely Jewish. I'm telling you.
All right.
Even though you're Jewish and you're allowed to do this, I'm just very uncomfortable.
I think just...
You're making me uncomfortable with your being Jewish and talking about Jews.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
All right. My next question.
Sorry.
It's okay. Lustig refuses to disclose any information about the key that is found in his position, but it proves to be his downfall.
His position? Sorry, what position is he in? I need to know the position.
What do we think the key is for, guys?
Oh,
the secret.
Yes. What is the
secret? Another place.
Is it for like...
It is too... Well...
I don't know, like the
It's a what's it called?
A counterfeiting organization.
The safe, yeah, a safe. I couldn't. Thanks, Jenny and Claire.
Yay!
it's for the massive printing device.
Is it
to
a safe? Is it where he's keeping the money?
It is for a locker in Times Square subway station.
Oh, wow.
What do you think they find in there?
Dildos, massive ones. a huge collection of sex toys.
Do you not realize how small those lockers are, Olivia? Come on.
I don't.
You can only fit mid-sized dildos in a Times Square locker. Believe me.
Okay. They found $51,000 in counterfeit bills and the plates on which they had been printed. Which is pretty damning evidence. But how did it come to this? Oh, God, someone...
What position was he in? I'm curious about this position.
We will find out eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Who is he really? Is that his real name? Obviously not. They never are. We've got to take it back to the beginning. So Count Victor Lustig. Also, why do they always claim to be counts?
We have so many counts.
Yeah. We've had... I think it's like the olden days version of men that say they can do loads of press-ups.
That's the position.
That's the position.
That's the position.
We found out.
We got
that. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a count.
Yeah. Watch me go.
You want to see my penis?
I can be a count right now if you want me to.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you some
You're
more
really
facts.
Good at that.
This
it's
guy, by
good.
The way, this is a horny guy. He was
no
born.
Shit. How many mistresses?
Quite a few. He was born in Bohemia on January the 4th, 1890, in what is now known as the Czech Republic, but was then Austria-Hungary.
Bohemia? You mean he was an artist? Oh, they're all slags.
It's a real place. He was originally known as Robert V. Miller. He was one of several children born into the upper middle class Miller family. And his father was the mayor of a
Count
small
Bobby place. Miller. I can see.
Is it time for a gin break?
Wait, my God.
Drunk women,
we have,
just before we solve it completely, who wants a unicorn tear? Come on. This is what happens when you have kids. It's really sad, don't
These
do
These two
it.
Have kids too. But.
Okay, yeah. Clearly coping better.
Yeah, sure.
Here we go.
Let's
we
do
go.
This.
Thank you.
And for you?
Why not?
Thank you, Firebox.
And you?
So, his father was the mayor of a small town of Hosty in Czechoslovakia, and under his care, Lustig proved to be a bright child with a penchant for trouble. So this guy moves to Paris to study, but at 19 he took time off to gamble at poker, bridge, and billiards. Around this age, he also earned a scar across the left side of his face from a jealous man who thought that Lustig was paying too much attention to this man's girlfriend.
He probably was. He's a horny bastard.
He definitely was.
Definitely
he's horny.
Was.
He's like, cock gets him in trouble. What can we say? He's like, yay, I'm going to do press ups. You want to see my count penis?
We're not filming this.
Look at my position.
So listen, Lustig spoke a lot of languages. How many languages do you think he spoke?
Four.
Good guess.
Oh. You're in my head. It's scary.
He actually spoke five languages. He spoke Czech, German, English, French, and Italian. Coincidentally, that's nearly how many languages my books have been translated into.
Yes,
girl.
Had to get that one in.
Love it. That's Kate, like, if you know Katie personally, she never ever brags. That is the best thing. That is so good. Like Katie, how have you been? And she's like, I've been doing nothing. It's like, you've had five books published. It's really rather good. But
it's so true. That's really awesome.
I mean, that made you seem like a bit
well
fun,
done.
But it's like, it was good.
It's like, you explained away my cuntishness, so it's fine.
If you're ever in doubt, you're amazing. You're amazing.
Okay. Lustig used his quick wit and fluency in languages to flirt with women and also to con people. Let's get to the crimes.
He's really shaggable. I bet this guy is so shaggable.
He's really shaggable.
Like, oh, I can chat you up in four different languages. Yeah. And look at all this cash I've got.
Yeah.
And look at me doing press ups.
Okay, so he started committing dozens of petty crimes under countless aliases across Europe. His favorite was that of Count Victor Lustig. Under this name, he traveled on transit.
Not a sexy name, though, is it?
It could be with the, I don't know. He traveled on transatlantic cruise ships, gambling and bilking wealthy passengers out of their money. When World War One put an end to pleasure cruises, Lustig's con career dried up.
That was the real tragedy of World War One,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
I know, right? There's all those poems about the trenches. What about the wealthy con men?
You know, no more.
So he went to the United States. In 1922, Lustig had conned his way to Missouri, where he learned of a repossessed ranch. Posing under the alias Robert Duval, he offered the American...
No.
That's what he did.
Before Robert Duval was even born.
Yeah.
This guy's a genius.
Wait. He's growing on me. He's growing
like
on me.
The alias Tom Cruise. Like, yeah. Maybe not so much. George Clooney. Yeah, that'll do.
Who is Robert Duval?
Remember when Tom Cruise was kind of like, yeah, he's cute.
And then he jumped on that sofa and you're like, no.
Just so, yeah.
Sorry, killed it. Lost my erection.
Yeah, okay. I haven't been heard
since. Do you guys want to hear about how he robbed the bank or not?
Yes, I'm
sorry. Okay.
Five languages!
Did he rob it in five different languages?
All right. He said...
Hola!
You know what? We don't have time. Basically, he did sleight of hand. There was an envelope with bonds in. There was an envelope with money. He switched them. He made off with the bonds and the cash. He Darren Browned a bank.
He was doing NLP before he even existed.
He got away with it. Yeah, that's true. Before he do existed.
He was NLPing there.
At this point, I think he got away with it, yeah.
Yes, good guess. Yeah. He was tracked to Kansas City where he was arrested, but he managed to talk his way out of indictment and walked free.
In what language? Did they say that? In French.
It does not specify.
Je suis un bonhomme.
Yeah. Okay.
Je ne commit.
He's a show off, isn't he?
I could do that, but like when he does it in English, if anyone's interested.
We're getting to my favorite crime. In May of 1925, Lustig traveled back to Paris to plan another con. And this also is how he earned his famous nickname. So a couple of things you need to know for this to make sense. In 1925, France was recovering from the war and the upkeep of the Eiffel Tower was an almost unbearable expense for the city of Paris. Lustig noticed an article about the dilapidation of the tower and formed a plan. So as we all know, the Eiffel Tower was built in 1889.
Should I be taking notes? This sounds like good stuff.
I was gonna get you guys to guess, but I just think we're gonna be in trouble out of time. So
don't ask anything.
It was part of there was this whole big thing about the Paris Exposition. It was the centenary
exposition.
Of the
this is the Paris Exposition that we're talking about right now.
Exposition.
It was constructed to commemorate the centennial.
I can't have an affair with you because I'm married to your mom.
Sorry, I'm just doing bad exposition.
I like it.
Yeah.
It was for the French Revolution, 100 years since then, blah, blah, blah. It was meant to be taken down after 20 years, okay? But it proved to be a good radio communications antenna, and so they kept it.
Oh.
So it was kind of overdue, and everyone thought it was going to be taken down after 20 years, so it's like... overdue. So it's sort of like, so it started off, everyone thought it was really great, the Eiffel Tower, and then it's fallen into disrepair. So it's sort of like a celebrity falling out of favour with the press.
Because they
like Gemma Collins.
No. And it's like, it's 1925,
the war costs
loads of money, everyone's strapped for cash. Basically, everyone thinks the Eiffel Tower is doing too much coke to be cute anymore. And so the Eiffel Tower is all like, if you can't handle me at my annoyingly expensive, you don't deserve me at my useful radio antenna.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information, information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What I'm trying to say is the Eiffel Tower is controversial and it's starting to be seen as an expensive nuisance from leftover from this Paris exposition. So the original plan was to remove it, but then that would have cost money, so it hasn't been removed. Enter Count Victor Lustig. What do we think he did?
Got his schlong out and slapped it all over that tower.
And went, after that,
you're
what
my
did he do?
Bitch.
Well, he may very well have done that, but I feel like.
If in doubt, slap it about. You know what I mean? Cheers.
Why did we name the podcast that? I don't know.
He got
in doubt,
cash out
about.
And went, ooh, take my cash.
Well, I think did he not sell it? I feel like I've heard this. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If anyone else has heard, yes.
You've cracked on. That's his famous nickname.
Oh, yeah, the shady deal. That
so
won't go on.
He is the man that sold the Eiffel Tower.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
So what he did is he forged government credentials, naming him Deputy Director General of the Ministère des Postes Telegraphes. That's my French.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
I'm French, sorry.
And yeah! What is that? Okay. Hey! Oh! Translate.
Bonjour, la piscine.
Bonjour. Je voudrais une pomme de terre, s'il vous plaît.
Oh God. I'm so sorry. Welcome to our terrible country.
Nous buvons au limonade.
Où est le gars?
So he's got a fake ID, and then he invited 6 scrap metal dealers to a secret meeting in a hotel. He explained that the city could not afford to keep the tower and they had to sell it for scrap. He told them the secrecy of the meeting and all future dealings were due to the fact that the public may become distressed at the idea of the removal of the tower and to avoid backlash from citizens. Obviously, this seems implausible to us, but everyone thought the tower was going to be gone anyway by then. So he took the dealers in a limousine to tour the tower. One of the dealers, André Poisson.
Chicken man!
P-O-I-S-S-O-N.
What?
Fish.
It's fish.
It is fish.
Sorry, I thought poisson was chicken.
Oh. I gave myself away
That's
by not
poulet. Poulet is chicken.
Oh, poulet. Sorry.
It was convinced the tale was legitimate and he handed over the money. Then, when he went to city officials to cash in on the deal, they had no idea what he was talking about. When he realised that he'd been conned, he was too embarrassed to tell the police and Lustig escaped with the money.
Cheeky bastards. Wow.
So then, 1 month later, Lustig returned to Paris and ran the whole scam again.
Yes!
Whoa! Relentless!
This time, it was reported to the police. Do you think he escaped this time?
The chicken man always
No,
escapes.
This is the one.
I feel
what,
like...
From what I know about the chicken man...
Hello, my name is.
Hello,
my name is Count Poulet.
I love
you.
Chicken.
Killed my father.
I love schnitzel.
Prepare to fry. Oh,
don't applaud.
You got a round of applause from one person.
I feel like this is kind of it's kind of
this is when he goes
I vaguely
down.
Know that's part of the crime, but I feel like he is not guilty because I feel like he did it like again.
Mm.
So I feel like he's not found guilty this time.
So you think he escapes the second time?
Yeah, I think he does.
Okay.
No.
Do you guys think he escapes?
Never do the same crime twice. That's what grandma taught me.
I don't think he did escape because we're talking about it.
Okay. So he gets caught at some point, right?
Yeah, because we know.
Okay. I like your logic. I like your logic.
I mean, hello.
So I gotta tell you, he did escape on this occasion. It was trickier. It was trickier. He barely managed to elude authorities the second time around, and he was forced to flee back to America to prevent his own capture. But escape he did.
Well, and then he went on to make movies.
Yes. No.
He set up a studio.
Okay. Do we think that after that he would lay low or crack on with some crimes?
Crack on!
He's going to crack on with some crimes. So his next crime was, he's just incapable of keeping a low profile. He became even more famous for a con known as the Romanian Box. Has anyone heard of this?
Isn't that a mythical sex act?
I mean...
Like, she's Romania does point. Exist. It's not mythical.
It's not. No, it's not Romania. Right. It's Romanian.
Romanian.
With a U.
Oh, yeah, that's different. Romanian. That's very serious, like, and we shouldn't.
Rheumatic.
Right. Lustig had a cabinet maker in New York City handcraft a mahogany box with a narrow slot on either end. On one side of the box, Lustig had installed a series of complicated handles and levers. What do you think Lustig told his marks that this box did?
Oh, he's a weirdo. All I'm getting from this is he's a wrong'un. He's just a wrong'un.
It's a you. What do you think? Time travel. I love it.
Is that what it is?
Forged. No. Oh.
It was a printing device.
Yes.
For fake driving licenses and and birth certificates.
You are so close.
Money.
It was a money printing device, there supposedly. And I've got a picture of it
because it's
that we could pass around.
I mean, if you'd like to pass them around.
That's just what Google came up with. I don't think that's what the real thing looked like.
Pass it around.
I think it's an approximation at best.
Passing it around. It's really cute. It's really sweet.
Okay, so Lustig told his marks that the mahogany box...
What are they going to do? You made them do it.
Oh, yeah. I forget the power. This is the problem, the power of being...
The power.
Bark like a dog!
They're not engaging with it. It's just, yeah.
He told them that it was a money duplicating machine, and he would place an authentic $100 bill in one end along with a piece of paper and then turn a series of cranks and knobs. The only problem...
Like I said, mythical sex act.
I can do that with my ass.
But just nobody saying. Wants to go
But
out.
We could pass that picture around.
Next time on Drunk Women Solving Crimes.
He said the only problem was it will only print one bill every 6 hours. So together, he and his victim would wait 6 hours.
Well, he did positions.
Oh my God, this is like Napster. Who remembers Napster?
Yes.
Yeah.
It took like 6 hours. Oh, you fucking young people.
Okay, so he would turn the cranks to produce another authentic $100 bill. Lustig would then have the victim take both bills to a local bank to confirm their authenticity. They were real bills in actuality because Lustig had concealed a second real $100 bill in the box. Yes. Then his mark, sensing high profits, would pay a remarkable sum for the box. Many people paid him enormous amounts of money, usually over $30,000 for the device. But the Romanian box contained only two real hidden $100 bills. Once they were spat out by the machine, it would produce only blank paper and no real money would ever come out again. By the time
the shooting blanks.
But he made that box, but and it doesn't work, it's a con. And he was still like, we got to bed in for 6 hours. So, yeah. Like, why would he make it 6 hours that you'd have to wait with him?
He obviously...
He's lonely.
His gambler. Yeah. He was a friend for 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
He's lonely.
That's
and
horrible.
That's when Hannah that's George fell a little
take.
Bit in love.
Oh, that's really...
He's a complicated fellow. Wow. I like your take that he's lonely.
I think I could change him, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
He just hasn't met the right woman.
I want to be his seventh mistress.
I got to ask you guys, do you think he got away with this?
I think he did.
Yes, you are correct.
Yay. I think he did.
He's getting more and more infamous, but he got away with it. But the net is starting to close in. So carries on criming it up. At one point... Oh, this is one. This is quite a fun one.
Go on.
At one point, Lustig convinced Al Capone to invest $50,000 with him. He stored the money in a vault and returned it 2 months later, stating that the deal had fallen through, but that he'd intended to return the money. This surprised Capone by the fact that he was dealing with an honest man for the first time. At this point, Lustig would sting Al Capone with a claim that the failure of the deal meant that he had no money himself to support him. So Capone was so impressed by this apparent honesty that he gave him $5,000 to tide him over, which was actually what Lustig had planned the whole time. Do you think he got away with that?
Yes.
Yes, he did. That's what he does.
This man is a genius.
Can we just take a moment to appreciate this man just conned Al Capone?
Can we just honor him? Yes. He must have had a real vulnerability about him in person. Let's just think about what he was like in person. Vulnerable, handsome, spoke five languages.
Okay. In 1930... Lustig went into partnership with two men from Nebraska, a pharmacist, William Watts, and a chemist, Tom Shaw. One of those men had a mistress that he had an affair with. We are closing in.
It was Tom Shaw.
Yeah. It was. So this new venture was a large-scale counterfeiting operation. Both Watts and Shaw engraved the plates that would be used to manufacture the counterfeit dollar bills, while Lustig organized a ring of couriers to distribute the forgeries, ensuring that they were kept in the dark regarding the production of the counterfeits. In short, the operation managed to circulate thousands of dollars in counterfeit money each month for the next 5 years, nicknamed Lustig money. Although the increasing amount entering, the US economy eventually drew the attention of the federal agents. Everyone is closing in, you guys. Then he buffs the wrong chick, mistress finds out, yada yada, makes a phone call, tips him off, they get the Times Square evidence. Do you think he escaped again?
Yes.
No. No. Come on. So, it is 50-50, and you're kind of correct to be 50-50 because he tried. The day before his trial, Lustig managed to escape from the Federal House of Detention in New York by faking illness.
And was he pregnant? Is that what he said?
If only. Faking illness using a speciality made rope to climb out of the building and was... this is sad.
Speciality rope?
What is he speciality rope? He can get ropes made. I don't know how he did it. He's got a special rope, that's all I know.
With unicorn tears.
Made of unicorn tears, probably.
You're faking illness, but then you're just escaping on a rope. Well, I don't understand that.
I'm assuming he's...
I'm sick!
I think probably what he's done is he's faked an illness to get maybe into like the hospital bit where it's maybe a bit more
relaxed. It's easier to get out.
Yeah,
okay.
I think he's done that.
Like in Prison Break. Okay. He's in Prison Break.
My tummy hurts and I need this rope. To keep me company.
He's got it, and then but he was recaptured 27 days later in Pittsburgh.
I'm from the Berg.
What? Berg.
Respect the Berg.
Okay. So he pleaded guilty at his trial and was sentenced to 20 years in Alcatraz.
Whoa! That is the coolest fucking prison! Yes! Tell me that at the beginning. That's amazing. I'd visit him. I'd write him letters.
So he got 50.
Have you gotten over the small key now?
All right.
He got 15 years for counterfeiting and 5 for the prison escape.
How much?
Yeah, well, no, because when he tried to escape and they captured him, you know, when he did the sickness and the rope, they added 5 years for that. So it's 15 plus 5.
That's my favorite Hemingway novel. He didn't escape from Alcatraz though, right?
He got transferred from Alcatraz. And in 1947, aged 57, Lustig died of pneumonia while in jail in Springfield, Missouri.
He's in The Simpsons as well? It's amazing.
He was so busy. On his death certificate, his occupation was listed as apprentice salesman. Secret Service agent said the occasional counterfeit bill known as Count Lustig money still managed to turn up in the years after his death. Also, I just want to share this with you guys. There's a set of instructions known as the Ten Commandments for con men, which has been attributed to Lustig. Do you want to hear them?
Yes.
And the tenth one means we will never be good con men. Number one, be a patient listener. It is this, not fast talking, that gets a con man his coops. Number
Note
two,
to all comedians.
Number two, never look bored. Number three. So busted. Number three, wait for the other person to reveal any political opinions and then agree with them. Number four, let the other person reveal religious views and then have the same ones. Number five.
So I should have said, I'm Jewish too. I'm super Jewish.
I knew it.
Yes.
Number five, hint at sex talk, but don't follow it up unless the other person shows a strong interest. I don't know how you decide what's a strong interest. Because a lot of guys have been getting that wrong. Hashtag me too. Number six, never discuss illness unless some special concern is shown. I don't know, wait for them to bring up illness. I don't know what that means. Number seven, never pry into a person's personal circumstances. They'll tell you all eventually.
Get them drunk.
That's number seven. Number eight. Anyway, never boast. Just let your importance be quietly obvious. Number nine, bollocks. Never be untidy. And number 10, never be drunk.
Never boast.
Oh, never be drunk.
Drunk.
Number 10 is never get drunk.
We've all failed.
Never boast. Sorry, yeah. I have to pause on that one because this Count, what's his face, wrote this.
Yeah.
Never boast. My name is Count Lustvig.
I speak four languages.
Come
on. That's him letting his importance be quietly obvious.
Olivia, are you quietly obvious?
Never. Nothing about me is quiet or obvious, unfortunately. I need to be mysterious. I'm going to cultivate mystery for 2019.
So the end of the crime is don't get drunk.
Yay! Never listen to a count.
Guys, we have 7 minutes to solve a listener crime.
Who worked at HMV and had the pigs?
Oh. It's my friend. He's not a plant, but come along, Matt. Would you like to tell the story? Hey, Matt Hay!
They were all really good, thank you.
Yeah,
but that one
amazing.
Just stood out to me. And you stand out to me, man.
Why, thank
How can you.
You
not? Oh,
this is horrific. yes, quite a while ago, I used to work for HMV, the purveyor of CDs and DVDs, etc. And
I'm familiar with their work.
Less so now than you used to be, probably. It was quite a quiet job. It was quite clean, et cetera, et cetera. And one day I was called to a cleanup, which is very unusual when you're selling CDs. and I went to the children's DVD aisle. And oh. I got there and I found a severed pig's foot. It nestled amongst the DVDs.
Oh my God.
And... No idea where it came from at all.
We Peppa Pigs.
Between Babe Pig in the City and something else. Couldn't think of another B. But I checked with our security person and there was nothing on CCTV to say who'd done it. And then he's like in some secret network with every other shop on the high street. And loads of other shops the same day had pig's feet.
God.
Either thrown into their doors or placed around
the
pig.
So weird. Okay, David Icke, we've heard enough.
Weirdly, I'm from the Isle of Wight as well. So.
And it was a hologram.
But no one's ever known who they were or where they were.
I missed what you just said, but I was going to say the only question we need to ask is, was this on the Isle of Wight?
It was on the Isle of Wight,
yes.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Really strange.
Thank you.
He gets a gin.
Come back for your gin. Yay!
Wow.
Thanks. But that is literally where David Icke comes from. So that's like, yes, he is
it's
like,
weird.
Yes, he's like our Statue Ooh. Of Liberty. He
it
is our.
Sounds like a conspiracy to me.
Yeah, it does.
Do you guys think it was David Icke?
It could have been David
Icke. We've got to solve this in 2 minutes. Should we just blame him?
Yeah, it's
this
probably David Icke.
Yeah, it was a hologram lizard.
A hologram lizard through the pig's feet.
It was Prince Charles, but as his lizard self.
Okay, case closed.
Just saying.
I should probably say as well, though, that I am friends with with David Icke's son because I used to know him.
Prince Charles Lizard.
And Prince Charles' son, yeah.
I know Prince Charles Lizard's self, and as a lizard, he's lovely.
No, but I remember like being 16 and I went and I did a gig, so I used to play in bands, and so did David Icke's son. And I sat next to David Icke at a gig that his son was playing at, and I mean, his son is like fucking hot, and I was sat there, and I sat next to David Icke, and I said I like Gareth because I was a bit drunk because I was 15, it was the alibi, and David Icke just turns to me and he just says Gareth thinks outside the box, and I just went, I just meant he was fit.
Amazing.
That's brilliant.
Oh, it's definitely him.
Yeah, I think we can say it's him.
Did they ever catch him? What did the police do actually on the Isle of Wight? Was there any
did anything happen?
To the story?
No, it's the Isle of Wight. Yes. Case not solved, but
case not solved.
This is perfectly good eating.
Very strange. That's going to disturb me for a long time. That's one of those strange stories where you go, that actually happened. That's really weird.
It is weird, isn't
That's
it, when really you think about
so
it?
So weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I would
be interviewing
Thanks
the butchers.
Thanks for ruining my sleep tonight. Thank you.
I feel like... Don't ask Olivia what she wants to plug, because I know what she's going to do with that sentence.
Plug my many projects. You know, my many projects. You know, hustling away. I've got a lot of stuff in development.
Hey. Hey.
Woo!
Yay. Hey, thank you.
Thank you for
thank
coming.
Thank you, Olivia.
Thank you so much for coming to our live podcast, and thank you to Hannah George and Taylor Glenn, and thank you to Olivia Lee.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acas, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.